The Tennessee Titans have acquired Ryan Tannehill from the Miami Dolphins in a trade. And normally, you know, something as innocuous as that won't really, you know, capture my eye, except for the fact that's where Marcus Mariota plays. Is that something or is that nothing? I wonder. You know, Mariota's health certainly hasn't helped anything. Let's go live to Vegas right now and join John Canzano. He's joined us every single day this week. Appreciate it. JC, we'll get to Pac-12 tournament in a moment, but I'll just pose that question to you. Ryan Tannehill to the Titans, is that something or is that nothing as it regards Marcus Mariota?
It's always something, right? If you're the Titans, Mariota struggle with some injuries here or there, so I don't blame them for making a move. They have to do what's best for them, but I'm sure a lot of people are reading into it. I don't think Mariota's in any danger of getting beat out, but I look at it more as, you know, the Titans sort of saying, look, historically this guy has not played 16 games a year. Let's get somebody in there that can help him and help give us some depth. That quarterback position in the NFL is so important. Also tells me, Judah, that they feel like they might be close, right? That they feel like they might be a playoff team, and they want to ensure that. It's a little insurance policy.
And say what you will about Ryan Tannehill, but he is objectively better than Blaine Gabbert. So it's an upgrade at that backup quarterback position. To the basketball floor we go. Lo and behold, JC, you said that Oregon is playing their best ball this season, and now it's a six-game win streak. They took care of business, and they kind of did it in ugly fashion last night, being able to get by Utah. What were your thoughts on the win last night?
Well, first of all, to overcome that first half said a lot about Dana Altman and said a lot about Oregon. I thought Peyton Pritchard was the player last night. He had control of that game. He was in the end, he ended up being the best player on the floor. But, you know, Oregon came in and just laid an egg in that first half. And at halftime, Dana Altman yelled at his team as they were going to the locker room, what are we doing out there, is what he yelled at them. So I think ultimately, if you are somebody who's a Duck fan, you spin that positive and say, look, they overcame a really bad half and got a win and advanced in this tournament. Now they get ASU.
Boy, yeah. I mean, it's got to be an interesting feeling as a coach. Your proximity is so close to the court, and yet you don't have any influence on the way that the game is actually being played out there by the 10 players on the court. I mean, I wonder, do you know what sparked that second half resurgence from them? Was it anything Altman said in the locker room? Was it a particular scheme change, or was it just an overall focus and level of execution was raised?
Yeah, it was focus and execution, but it was led by Peyton Pritchard. I mean, they needed somebody to make good decisions with the ball in hand. Defensively, they've been very good. Utah was struggling a little bit with their active zone. What Oregon does with that zone is they press you with about a three-quarter court press. You expend a lot of energy breaking that press, and then when you get down in there and you are now in a half-court setting, all of a sudden you have to stop and you have to play half-court basketball. And that is really tough for a team to do, and that's really what Utah struggled with.
Well, we'll get to tonight's matchup and if you think that the Ducks will run the table here in a second, but how disappointing was that game for Oregon State, man? I was expecting a lot more from them.
Yeah, they just laid an egg. I mean, it was an embarrassing performance because, you know, Colorado sort of said that, look, it was an advantage to have played the night before, got the jitters out against a Cal team that's not very good. Oregon State looked a little jittery. They were a little wide-eyed. They were looking around in the first half, and it was as bad a half as I have seen college basketball team play in a tournament setting. They killed themselves. And I know they leave here very disappointed because they felt like they had a shot to win this thing.
Where do they go from here? I know Stevie Thompson, played his last game last night. We'll see about Trace Tinkle. But would you still consider Wayne Tinkle to have that program on an upward trajectory?
I think you have to look at the regular season. You know, they finished fourth. And, you know, some people were saying, was Tinkle going to get fired? I don't think you fire a guy after he finishes fourth in conference. You know, but I think the question I have, they were the second most experienced team in the league behind Washington. I think that was a big part of why they ended up fourth. They're probably not going to make the NIT, and they're going to have an opportunity to play in the CBI. I would like to see Oregon State pass on that and sort of announce to everybody that, hey, we're beyond that. We're a bigger program than that. We're know, you're not Indiana, you're not Duke, you're not Carolina, but we're bigger than the CBI right now. And I think that would be a strong statement. And then, you know, the question about Tinkle coming back, I think you need him back on that part if you're winning Tinkle. And that is an interesting position for him to be in.
Yeah, we're talking to John Canzano right now on a Friday edition of the BFT and the BFT Radio Network. What's your take on tonight's semifinals, Washington, Colorado, based on what you saw from Colorado against Oregon State and then that Washington-USC game? Yesterday we talked to you right on the tail end of that one, and that was a close finish at the end. Do you think Colorado has a shot to beat UW?
Look, I've been here in Las Vegas almost a week, and you kind of hit a wall. Right? You hit a wall after about 3 days and you go, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of the buffet, walking through the casino, the strip. If I am Colorado tonight, I think tonight is the night where they hit the wall. I think Oregon runs that same risk against Arizona State. You know, everyone can get up for a championship game. But it's this semifinal game where you've got Washington that has fresher legs and, let's face it, better players than Colorado. And I think Washington gets Colorado tonight. I walked through the sports book a few minutes ago. Washington's a three-point favorite. I love Washington to cover the 3 points. And then from Oregon's standpoint, Oregon is a two-point favorite against Arizona State. I think if legs are going to be a factor, tonight is the night where they're a factor because you've got Arizona State fairly rested, played one game here. You've got Oregon playing on their third game. And, it'll be their second game in 26 hours. And I think tonight is the night to watch fatigue as a potential factor.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense because, you know, from what I understand, Arizona State plays almost a similar brand of basketball that Oregon does in terms of forcing turnovers and flying up and down the floor. That's not really Utah's game, as evidenced last night. That was kind of a slobber knocker of a game for the majority of it. And Peyton Pritchard, to your point, John, played 40 minutes last night, something he had only done twice previously this season. I do absolutely think fatigue could play a factor in the second half. And Arizona State seems to be one of those teams that we know they're good, but we don't really know why because we don't get to, like, watch a lot of them during the year. You wouldn't be surprised at all if ASU won this game, right?
Yeah, and I think tonight, like, if you're putting a gun to my head and making me make a pick, if I'm going to pick up against Oregon at any point of this tournament, it would be tonight because I think that becomes a big factor. And if I'm Bobby Hurley, you're right. I'm not calling timeouts. I'm running Oregon up and down the floor. I'm pressing Peyton Pritchard because I just don't think beyond Pritchard, there's not a lot of trust, right, in this team. You like Kenny Wooten. You like Pritchard. All these other guys, I don't trust them. And you could tell late in the game when Utah was trying to make a push, every important possession, Peyton Pritchard had the ball in his hands and he took control. I don't think that was accidental. I think Dana Altman knows there are very few guys on this team that have that kind of game experience, and he turned it over to Pritchard last night.
Dana Altman gets the contract extension. It's announced before the game. I couldn't help but notice that it came just an hour after Ernie Kent got fired from Washington State. And you think about what those two individuals have meant to Oregon Duck basketball. And I just brought up the question of likability. I mean, we know Dana wins and wins at a high level, but who's more likable, Ernie Kent or Dana Altman?
Yeah, I think, I got to ask their players. I think Dana was funny last night in the post-game news conference, and, he said, this is great for his family. He said, I know that there are some players who are disappointed, and then he moved on. But I think that Oregon, it was a preemptive move by Oregon to say, look, there had been some talk about Nebraska possibly opening up, and there had been talk about Dana going home, and this contract extension should keep him at Oregon for the remainder of his career. Phil Knight was there last night. Kilkenny was there last night. So I think it was a statement by Oregon saying, like, this is our guy. We're buying all the way in.
I know the Larry Scott press conference is set for after the Pac-12 tournament game on Saturday. Very curiously and no doubt strategically set for that time of day. Will you be there?
It will depend on what happens. If Oregon's out of this tournament, I come home. So, here's the other thing. I don't know that Larry's going to say anything. I don't know that Larry's going to announce anything. But, I will continue to work this story, and other journalists will as well. We're talking a lot about the strategy that the Pac-12 used in scheduling that news conference after the championship game on Saturday night. I mean, it's ridiculous that there's not going to be anybody at it. I mean, even people covering the game are not going to be going to that news conference after the game. They're going to be interested in covering the game.
All right, final thing. Prediction time, John. When you're back in the chair Monday at noon, are we going to be talking about Oregon in the NCAA tournament?
I mean, if you're a Ducks fan, you have to feel really good at the position they're in, given where Bol Bol started this year without him, how bad they looked, the fact that they were in 10th place just a couple weeks ago. They're in the Final Four. They are two games away from getting to the NCAA tournament. So if you're a Ducks fan, you take it. But I just think they're up against too much fatigue. They're going to have to beat Arizona State and Washington in the next 24 hours. I don't see that happening.
JC, appreciate the time as always. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
There he is, John Canzano. Follow him on Twitter at John Canzano BFT. Big Splash coming up next, and breaking news on Oregon Duck football. We'll have that for you coming up.